Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. Just around this time last year, I had a conversation on the show with Paul Mowry, whose family has deep roots in the ministry of the Presbyterian Church USA. We spoke that time just after the church voted to begin allowing the ordination of LGBT persons. Since then, Paul has been ordained and is now the pastor of a church in Sausalito, California. Meanwhile, this past week, the Church General Assembly narrowly voted not to change its definition of marriage. So it seemed like the perfect time to have Paul Mowry back on the show to talk about this life-changing year for him and also to talk about the outcome of the General Assembly. Paul, I really appreciate you coming back to State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that you're there every week. It's a great show, and you guys do wonderful work.
Thank you. It would be much better to talk about this in Sausalito together, but yeah. We'll do it this way this time.
Well, it's cool and sunny here, unlike most everywhere else.
Well, yeah, it's hot, and I won't say other things here.
Right.
The last time we spoke, the Presbyterian Church USA General Assembly had just voted to allow ordination for LGBT persons. Can you take us back to last summer and just review how your own personal life has changed since then?
Well, you know, it was a remarkable hand of God moment because, you know, my call story is long. I felt always called to the ministry. I came out to my mom when I was 18 and she was completely embracing and loving and supportive, but said, you know, I just feel bad. You'll never, you know, you won't be a father. And you know the Presbyterians don't ordain gay people. And I went off and did lots of other really interesting things that both taught me a lot about life and, you know, deepened my spiritual path. And then I went into seminary not really knowing what I would do with it because the Presbyterian Church was not ordaining gay people when I went into seminary. And just a couple years after getting out and looking for a call, the church voted finally after 30 years to open its doors, and Sausalito Presbyterian Church, just a few months after that, called me to be their pastor. So it's been this amazing crossing Jordan moment, you know, after wandering in the desert. I'm fortunate. The Jewish slaves from Egypt had to wander for 40 years. I just had about 30 years, so I caught off with, you know, 10 years for good behavior or something. And I've now been able to answer my call, and it's been absolutely thrilling and so just, you know, deeply moving for myself and my family, my partner and my daughter Ellie, who's 5. We all are out here and just feeling so loved and excited by our relationship with the church.
Paul, you've started down the road of a question I wanted to follow up with, and that is, what has it meant to you to become a pastor of a church?
My first thought to that question is everything. I mean, it has been something I've felt called to even as a small child, and to come into a community, and Sausalito Presbyterian Church is an especially very warm and really welcoming community. And when I say welcoming, you know, in the congregation we have, you know, traditionalists and agnostics and atheists and Catholics and Jews. I mean, it's really a lot of people who come together, you know, who value the polity of Presbyterianism and the, you know, fidelity of seeking to be in relationship with God and each other. And for me, it just means waking up and can't wait to get to work, you know, to get into what's waiting for me in the day. And to be building just lots of relationships inside the church community and just in the community around us, and knowing that, you know, I am one of these very, very blessed and also lucky people who get to spend my days trying to, you know, witness to the love of God in any way that I can think of. And it's just, it's a wonderful way to spend one's life, well, you know.
You know, I say this with great respect, but I know people who would not understand what you're saying because that's not the way they look at church. I think after 50 years in the church, I probably have a praise critique of the church. And my mind, as you talked, went back to a book I'm sure you know by Henry Nouwen called The Wounded Healer. And you came to the church not with people saying, you need to go to the church, you need to be a pastor, you need to do all. You came with the door closed.
Yeah.
And so your perspective, I think, is very different from that of some other people. And it comes out in what you're saying because you know the hurt the church can cause, but you also know the joy it can bring.
Well, I could not have said it better myself. I love how you just said that because I think that is true. And we were having a 4-week series on the Gospels, and we met last night. And one of the things I said is, I think just for thousands of years, you know, the church has preached the bad news.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, it is just, if you look at the good news, well, of course, you certainly understand why Christianity grew and why people were so, you know, excited and transformed and mm-hmm. willing to suffer, you know, absolutely horrible oppression because this great good news of this gospel of deep, you know, radical love is thrilling. Mm-hmm. And it is, when I was being in the ordination process and I had to go from, you know, the status of being an inquirer, which is your entry status into the ordination process, to becoming a candidate, which is where you're moving into a much more serious level of commitment. I said to the church, I said it to the presbytery that I was under care of, I know what it's like to love the church, and mm-hmm. I know what it's like to leave the church, and I know what it's like to come home to the church.
Right, right.
And
that's a great
I often
gift.
Tell people, I never think there's a good reason for oppression or injustice, but the fact that I actually got to go through that experience of not being able to come mm-hmm. into my call really has shaped a lot of who I am and what I now feel is so important to bring to the church or bring out in the church.
Not surprised. Let's broaden the lens now for a moment. We know what it meant to you. How do you see, broadly speaking, the process of bringing LGBT people into the ministry of the Presbyterian Church USA? How has that gone in the Presbyterian Church in the first year?
Well, I think it's still a mixed bag. It's, you know, I think that, you know, there were some people in the church who were afraid of this move and envisioned, you know, hundreds of gay ministers. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact is that the church is a national body that still operates locally, and you know, change, though this was a dramatic change, came after a long long struggle. Mm-hmm. And so it continues to move slowly because now the door is open, but it still is going from presbytery by presbytery.
Sure.
And I think that there are still people who are in presbyteries that do not think that it's a good idea to have lesbian and gay pastors and who will not call somebody or even move them forward in the ordination process.
Yeah.
So yet others who, you know, Scott Anderson and Scott Clark and others who are able to move forward very openly. So, you know, like any kind of change socially or religiously, it's a process. And for some, it's it's going way too fast, and for others it's just going way too slow.
Well, I'm sure you've got comments on the action of the General Assembly this year moving in the opposite direction on LGBT issues with a close vote, very close vote, defeating an attempt to include marriage equality in the life of the church. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the one thing I would say right off the bat is I would not necessarily characterize this as the church going in the opposite direction, because this is actually the first time that marriage equality has made it to the floor and to a vote.
Mm.
4 years ago, marriage equality didn't get out of committee. 2 years ago, it got out of committee but was, you know, thwarted by a parliamentary maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first time that it got to the floor, and as you said, the vote was very close. I think, 30-some votes. I think that's really remarkable.
Yeah.
And, speed is a value in our society today, where everything just needs to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to say, well, you know what? In 2 years or 4 years, this is going to be, we're going to have moved forward on this. But it's hard to sit and wait for that. But I think that's definitely going to be the case. I mean, life moves forward.
Yeah.
And I think, God's revelation moves forward. And our relationships within the church are moving forward. The fact that so many presbyteries last year or 2 years ago had decided that, we trusted each other enough that we could have theological differences and trust each presbytery to make up its good God-given wisdom to assess their candidates for ordination. That was very dramatic and very powerful.
Yeah.
And the fact that this, which is, I think, in some ways, at this point, even more challenging than passing the ordination issue, could come out for its first run with a vote that was so close is very, very encouraging.
That's a good. I'm glad you made that point, because institutionally speaking, that really is occurring at a rapid speed.
That's right, and it's hard for us to, in this day and age, it's hard to sometimes understand or tolerate the speed or the lack of speed that institutions exhibit when they're making dramatic changes.
I think it's safe to say that mainline denominations are going to move in the same direction probably, but at different speeds. The Episcopal Church, of course, voted to include as a sacrament of marriage as an offering to same-gender couples, also approved the ordination of transgender persons. Do you see major bumps in the road ahead for Presbyterian USA, or do you think it's going to move pretty steadily?
I think it's going to move pretty steadily, because I think the social fabric is just changing every day. 10 years ago, I don't even know if Massachusetts had voted on marriage equality. Now we've got 6 or 7 states in the District of Columbia. It's just, as a people, we are just moving and opening up so quickly on understanding the relationships and the love of lesbian and gay people. And I think whether you're in the church or talking about civil society, it's really a very encouraging, forward, and sociologically speaking, lickety-split march forward.
Well, that's well said, and I think the Sausalito Church is very fortunate to have you there.
You're very
kind.
We're
just about out of time, but I've got one more question I want to ask you. I'm so pleased you're as pleased as you are in the pastoral ministry. If I call back a year from now and interview you again, what would you like to be able to say to me then that we can't say today?
Oh, my partner and I are getting married in 2 months, and I hope you'll come to the wedding.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We've been together, 25 and a half years. My partner, Joe Silverman, and my daughter, Ellie, is just turned six. And we know that we are blessed to have the family that we have. It'll be nice when we can invite our friends and community into a ceremony where the church openly blesses it as well.
Mm. Reverend Paul Mowry is the pastor of the Sausalito Presbyterian Church. He's one of the first openly gay persons ordained in that denomination. And he is always a most welcome guest right here on State of Belief Radio. Paul, I really thank you for being with us again, and I wish you continued success in your ministry there.
Thank you so much, my friend. Take good care.
You too.